people who are meant to receive your message will receive it. The people who don't want it won't want it. But you're not here to make sure everybody likes you.
I believe there are two ways to look at your career. One is like it's a minefield, filled with devices put there by others, expectations, constraints, bias, pressure, glass ceilings, glass cliffs. Or the other is that it's a playing field and you can master the game with tools, mindset, support, communities, and a powerful stance that helps you own your story, take your place, and step into your power. While the former certainly is rooted in a lot of systemic realities, this podcast, it's about the latter. This podcast is about us, as women, doing our thing to make our career our very own playing field. Welcome to Speaking with Women. I'm your host, Bibiji Haile. I'm a serial entrepreneur and the mom of one, a third culture kid, a career and personal branding advisor, and I am pretty obsessed with helping women step into their professional power. So I invite you to join me and let's step into our power together.
I think this podcast should have been called Meta, although Facebook already stole that. It's funny, when I thought about the title Meta, I was actually not thinking about Facebook, but I was thinking about Sharon Salzberg, her podcast, which is called The Meta Hour. It's written differently. And what it's about loving kindness. It's one of my favorite podcasts. Loving kindness is a meditation practice, and I love that woman to bits. So I'm going on a tangent before I even start the episode, but let me tell you, this episode, I think, is actually about loving kindness. Loving kindness to oneself, loving kindness to oneself in the discovery of self. So my guest, Michelle Osborne, she is so many things, and I'm going to read you her bio. But before I do, I want to talk about our conversation a little bit. So I reached out to Michelle on Instagram. You might remember my little foray into Instagram when I was like, okay, I need to widen my horizons and just move away from LinkedIn. Let's try IG. And it didn't work. But one of the things that it did do is made me discover some amazing people, amongst which Michelle Osborne. You will find her on IG under @uncomfortablebliss. And you know what? Her IG channel is not for the faint-hearted. She tells it like it is. She is joyful. She is present. She is unapologetic. I don't think there is any other word. I feel like sometimes, even though that's my word with unapologetically visible, I feel like it's a word that we might be using a lot these days, but Michelle is deeply unapologetic. And what our conversation is about is the actual process to becoming unapologetically herself. What she calls it, actually, you know what? Let's use her words, is zero fucks. That's how she names this approach to life. And so we go into a lot of details about how she does that and what's the story behind it and what are the processes, right? It's strange to talk about processes when you talk about the way someone shows up in their life, but it's important because otherwise we just talk about the results, what we see, but we don't talk about the real life that's happening behind, right? The normal person. And that's something that Michelle and I talk about, just the fact that behind what we see is a normal person. And that means a number of things. One of the things that it means is the way she puts herself out there is accessible to all of us. Visibility is accessible to all of us. It is not given to a special few. So let me read you her bio real quick because I want to get you to the episode as quick as I can. Michelle Osborne is a communications professional, multidisciplined educator and change agent that specializes in helping marginalized communities build socially conscious brands. As a women's rights advocate and content creator, she works from an anti-racist, anti-oppression, intersectional feminist framework and can often be heard speaking on topics such as marginalized women's issues, body positivity, radical self-acceptance, and LGBTQ2+ rights. She's been a frequent guest speaker on CBC Radio 1, voted as one of CBC's 2021 Black Change Makers, featured on CT News Montreal, and is a Dove Real Life Model Ambassador. This is a deep conversation. There is a lot for us to take out of it and to observe our lives with it and ask ourselves how we can show up more authentically by doing things and by scaring ourselves. Enjoy. Hi, Michelle. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for connecting with me. I appreciate it.
So right before we turned on the recording, we were joking. I was telling you, oh my God, I'm starstruck because I've been following you on IG for so long. And you're like this dazzling, I do what I want. I show up as I want. And we were making jokes about that and about how behind the person that we see, there's also the absolutely normal person who's exactly like me and exactly like the listeners on Speaking with Women. So I want us to start there. And I'm going to put your IG in the show notes so that people can go and see what I'm talking about for those that don't know you. So Michelle Osborne, Uncomfortable Bliss on IG. Tell me about that. Tell me about that space between the woman on IG and the woman who's sitting here chatting with me and who will go and be with her family and her kids. Tell me about that space.
You know, it's interesting because when I speak to people on podcasts and stuff like that, and even just followers who end up talking to me for one reason or another, they'll send me a DM and they'll be like, you responded. And I'm like, yeah. If you ask a question. And I would say 99% of the time I respond unless it's spam or something like that. But I think there's this misconception. And I think that's just like when you see people in Hollywood too, that there are these superhuman people that don't have normal lives. And if you ever met me, I'm the most normal person on the planet. I drive a Kia. I rent a maison de ville. There's nothing about me that should have you starstruck. However, I do realize that having a following on social media that I have, and I think part of it is living in Quebec, because one of the things I realized about Quebec is they're not huge social media people in Quebec. So then when they see someone who's doing all this and the person lives in Quebec, all of a sudden you become a little bit of a superhuman person that they've never seen before. And I just started this journey 3 years ago when the George Floyd incident happened, when the pandemic started, when basically all hell broke loose. And it was me stepping out to say, I did not want to be silent anymore. Because before that, I was posting nice pictures and saying nice words, but I was still being very careful with everything that I was doing because I didn't want to be judged. I wanted to be liked. And then when all of this happened, George Floyd and the pandemic, I think most of us, just like me, were faced with, we have nothing to do, so we need to face things ourselves. What's going on in our lives ourselves? What's going in our heads? Because there was no distractions anymore. You weren't running to work and catching this and going shopping and doing this. You had to face some of those things. I was probably in a deep depression for about a week when the George Floyd incident happened. And I just said to myself, I'm not going to stay silent anymore about what I believe. I'm going to talk about things that I'm passionate about. It's almost like if we get through this pandemic, it was going to be a second chance at life. And so I'm not going to stay silent to make other people uncomfortable anymore. And if they don't like me, that's okay, because you're not here on this planet for everybody to like you. I feel like I'm here to make a difference. And not everybody is going to understand me. Not everybody is going to believe the things I say, but that's okay, because I want to build a community of people who support and learn from each other and have differences and want to talk about things that are important to them and that we connect in the same way. So that's how it all started. And I just think that the biggest difference is that sometimes I show up with makeup and sometimes I don't. I'm really just a hugely normal person.
What was it like at the beginning? So there clearly was a transition from before George Floyd to after George Floyd. And I think for most of us, that's what it was. Like there really was a moment there. But when you started, when you said, okay, you know what? I'm done not showing up as myself and I'm done not talking about the things that are important to me. What was the start of that? Did it come with a dose of courage, or were you actually always like this, capable of putting yourself out there and speaking about the things that are important to you?
I would say no. I would say I always wished I was, but didn't think I could do it. There's this saying that I heard many, many years ago that stays in my mind all the time is happiness hates the timid. So if you're always going to be timid or shy or afraid to do something, it's going to be hard for you to be really happy because you're always going to wish that you're doing and sit in the. And so anytime I'm nervous to say something or do something, I remember happiness hates the timid. The people who are meant to receive your message will receive it. The people who don't want it won't want it, but you're not here to make sure everybody likes you. And so I was not always like that. I think that a few years ago, that was the catalyst that pushed me to be who I am. However, there are some celebrities like the Give Zero Fucks. Yeah, I was well on my way there for a long time because I was in a marriage and lived a life that was a lie. And when I finally got out of it, and it was my ex-wife's choice to leave, it wasn't even my choice. She was brave enough to end something that should have been ended a long time ago. I was granted my life back. So I feel that was my second chance at life. And this was shortly before I turned 40. And then when I turned 40, there's something about turning 40. It's either you shit or get off the block. Are you going to do it? Are you not? Are you going to start to live or are you not? And so I just decided that I was going to start to live.
40 is such a space of existential crisis. Yes. It starts a little bit before. And then until 45, you're like, ooh, then it starts to quiet down. Okay, this is starting to feel good. This is okay. Yeah. But it's really rocky. Most of the women who listen to Speaking with Women are in that space. And a space where you just literally are questioning everything.
Everything.
And actually even feeling it physically where you're like, nothing feels good.
Yes.
Nothing feels good.
Yes, absolutely. I always say that this first half before 40, and even I would say maybe even before 50, was like a dress rehearsal. My life right now, this is when it's starting, to be honest with you. Everything else has just been practice leading up to what my purpose is and to how I live unapologetically. One of the things that when you turn 40 is you realize you're young enough to understand younger things, connecting with younger people, but you're also old enough to give advice and to say, yo, I've been through this before. So let me give you some advice on that. And I really think right now, as I'm turning 49 this year, that people are you nervous about getting close? No, I'm not nervous about getting close to 50. I think aging is a privilege and God willing that I make it to 50. So all of these years to me have been a dress rehearsal. And if there's young people listening, I want to tell you, you're not supposed to have it figured out. You're not supposed to be here. When I was in my 20s and I saw people in their jobs, I was like, how come everybody looks like they have it all figured out but me? Everyone seems to have money but me. When everybody has it not figured out as much as I did, but it was all smoke and mirrors. Yeah. People in your 20s, even people in your 30s, you're not supposed to have it figured out. Your life really doesn't start to happen until you're 40 and then really until you're 50. And I look forward to that, actually.
I really love that you said that. I did an episode about our relationship to time. And I wrote that episode for two reasons. One, it was around how we are constantly in a rush. Our agendas have become a horrible prison. But also on the flip side of that, there is this feeling that time is running out that we are living with, right? Like I remember sitting down with a friend and we were talking about her next steps. And she said to me, she's like, BB, I feel like this is my last chance to do something that matters. And she was in her 40s like me. And so we start to have this feeling, and yet the sentence, everything else was a dress rehearsal. We're at it now. This is the moment, right? This isn't the moment when things get real. And when we have the capacity to take the kind of risks that we need to take, right? So, you know what? I did that thing that I always do, but I think my listeners are used to it by now. I jumped into the subject without giving any context whatsoever. So I'm going to do the intro. They'll probably have heard a little bit of the intro, but do you want to give us some sense of what you do more from a professional perspective, just an overview, and then we'll go back to the deep existential stuff.
Yeah, well, I started my career really, I went to school for finance and accounting and then kept dropping out because I was good at it, but I hated it. And then I ended up really early in my career starting as an executive assistant and moving my way up, working for CEOs of banks. I did stuff for the premier. I did stuff for political figures as an executive assistant. So I had a really strong foundation on how to be resilient and how to work with people, and knowing that it's not necessarily what you know, it's who you know. So working with these really big people really set the tone for where I am today, first of all. Second of all, as I was an executive assistant, I knew I didn't want to be a career executive assistant. I was searching. I was not one of those people who left high school and knew exactly what they wanted to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do. But I would say in my early 30s, I found an organization in Toronto called Women's Health and Women's Hand. And it's the only healthcare center that caters to women of color in North America. And to get an appointment is impossible. They hired me to manage their office. And that is where my life really changed, because I knew that I no longer wanted to work for corporate. I knew I no longer wanted to work for people who just wanted to make money. I knew that my career was going to be about community and building my community and working for my community. And so working at that health center was an amazing experience. But it didn't stop there. I also knew that paperwork and pushing paper, I knew there was something missing. And then I got hired at SiriusXM Radio. They asked me to come and help their marketing team open in Canada. And when I started working for their marketing and communications team, then I knew I was going to have to marry the community with the creative. And that's what I get to do today. So I've been in marketing and communication for many, many years. And over those years, I said, if I could just try to figure out how I could mesh community and marketing, that would be my dream job. And now I'm in my dream job, owning my own communication studio, helping marginalized communities, women, non-binary persons, build socially conscious brands, reminding them to be themselves and not to be anybody else when they're selling their brand, because that is what's going to make them money. I find that a lot of people say, well, they're doing this over here, maybe we should do that. No, you should do exactly what you're meant to do and who you are. So I feel like I moved to Quebec City about almost 8 years ago now. I cannot believe that. I'm originally from Toronto, Ontario. I was born and raised there. And I had to figure out a way to live as an Anglophone and make money here. And I knew that Quebecers were not going to work with me. No matter how great my French was, I came with zero French. I am not bilingual. I'm intermediate at best. But I had to sit down with myself and say, how am I going to exist in this space as someone who is not fluent in French? And that's when I started teaching English. Then I started being a literacy expert because I had lots of background in communications. And now I have my own communications studio where I still build literacy programs. I help entrepreneurs. And now I'm in the process of building my own personal brand, which you see as Uncomfortable Bliss. And my days are long. I don't even know how to say that, but they're long. So that's kind of my career, at executive assistant to community work to communications, and now owning my own communication studio.
So many things to dig in. Okay. When I was researching you, two things came up for me. So I saw the part where you were doing administration, but just like you described it, it felt like a moment in your life. So I didn't spend a lot of time there. I was like, huh, that's interesting. And then I described to myself your Uncomfortable Bliss brand as activist. And then I saw your project Perle Noire and I was like, that's creative. So there's a creative side, there's an activist side, the community you bring up. So there are all these pieces of you that you seem to have brought together to create the life that you have right now and the career that you have right now. It's very, I'm going to say authentic so that we can unpack that word, but it feels very authentic.
I'm a huge believer in manifestation and putting out into the world what you really want to see in your life. And every day I would say to myself, I want to work and do something that fills my soul and not my pocket. I want to support my community, but I still want to have a great life and go on vacation. And I still want to be creative, which was probably my biggest thing. And I said, I don't know what that job is. Maybe this job does not exist. but I still want to be in charge of my own time. And I just looked for ways to build that for myself. I decided to stop waiting for it to show up. And I decided to start creating it for myself. Because oftentimes we're just like, okay, I want this person to notice me so I can get this job. When I stopped waiting and I started creating, that is when people noticed me.
This is going to be so hard because you just keep dropping these. I'm like, okay, that's going to be the sentence that starts this episode. Then you drop another one. Michelle, tell me about authenticity, because here's the thing. I think fundamentally, I deeply believe in authenticity. I call it truth. My word is truth. But the problem with that word in general is that it's so hard to understand what it actually looks and feels like. When you tell somebody, be authentic, and they're like, yeah, I don't even know who I am. To be authentic with what? Like, a big part of my work is helping women dig and be like, this is me. This is the change I want to see in the world. This is like what I stand for. But there's a lot of digging. My strategy sessions take 5 hours, and sometimes we go to 6. Mm-hmm. So how do you think about authenticity? How did you tap into your authenticity?
I think I tapped into it by giving zero fucks. And I say that all my time on my platform, you know this. And people ask me all the time, how do I not care, Michelle? Because I think once you get to that point, that's where you find authenticity. Oh my God, say that 10 times fast. Number one, you have to look into your past trauma. And what is that? And I'm not saying, I think people say you have to, you know, figure out your trauma and be, no, because I don't think trauma ever goes away. There's always going to be a trigger. So at some point in your life, that's going to bring it back. You will know how to deal with it better. But I think trauma lives. That's just it. And so I think you need to recognize that and work on that as part of your process of not caring. And I think number two, you have to get rid of things. Go on a diet. What do I mean? I'm not talking about food. Get rid of people and things in your life that don't matter. You think they matter, but they don't matter. For example, I used to be an obsessive shopper. Every weekend I used to go out shopping, and in Toronto, usually in big cities, I can't be seen wearing the same thing twice at the office. I need to go get another shirt. So I had this closet full of clothes that I had worn once or twice at the most. And I would just keep shopping. So I had a shopping addiction. It had nothing to do with how I look, but it was a mental thing that I was dealing with. I need to look like I'm enough. I need to look like I had it together. And when I moved from Toronto to Quebec City, I had to get rid of a lot of that stuff. There was no room. I became kind of a minimalist. Probably not so much now as I got back up there. But one of the things I realized was how much I did not need. And how much of it was mental clutter that was just cluttering my mind. So getting rid of stuff that is not important, getting rid of people who are in my path that are just taking up space that are not there for any reason. So I always tell people those are two ways to start about not caring and learning how to be more authentic. The third thing I always tell people is to start doing things that scare the crap out of you. For example, when I first ended my marriage, one of the things I did that scared the crap out of me was to travel on my own. And I thought, I mean, can I travel on my own? It was the best experience of my life. It changed my life. If I did not travel on my own, I would have not have met my now ex, I would have not have moved to Quebec. I would have not have started a business. I would have not have been Uncomfortable Bliss. I would have not have had a child. If I did not look at that fear and face it and go travel on my own, the people you meet, the experiences you have, because what happens is we travel with other people and then we stay in that little group, which is how we all go around together. But when you are by yourself, you are forced to connect with other people. And that's when life starts happening. Life starts happening out of your comfort zone, but we're also comfortable with the people we hang around. And then that's when we become fear. Oh, I can't do that because we're also comfortable here. But when you start to face your fear, so your trauma, getting people and things that are just taking up space in your life, and starting to face those fears. Do one thing a month. When I turned 40, I started this blog called 40 by 40. That was the start of when I started getting interested in it. And from the age of 39 to 40, I had to do 40 things that I always wanted to do that I didn't get to do. And it was simple things. It was like, okay, I'm going to ride the subway in Toronto. I'm going to stop at every stop and I'm going to see what this stop is. Because I haven't been to half these stops, right? You only go to certain stops because you have to, but you don't know what every stop looks like. So I rode the subway and I'm just going to get off at this stop and whoa, look, I didn't know this was here. A big thing was wearing red lipstick. People see me wearing red lipstick now. I would have never worn red lipstick before because for Black women, your lips are too big. They're too bright. We don't want to expose them that much. We don't want to showcase them that much. And so one of mine was, I'm going to wear red lipstick to work and see if anybody says anything. Is someone's going to make fun of me? So I wore red lipstick to work. And you want to know what happened? Michelle, you look beautiful. What's cool? And nobody could tell, but they were like, you look so shining, refreshed. And I had to walk in with this confidence that I'm wearing this red lipstick. And that's why my red lipstick is a symbol of my superpower of being able to use my voice. Yeah. It's not just because I like to wear red lipstick. It's what started for me to facing my fears and using my voice more. And so that blog, I didn't finish all 40, but that wasn't the purpose. The purpose was that every single time I did something that I was fearful of or that I wanted to do, it got me closer to being out of my comfort zone and closer to being my authentic self. Because then I started, oh, if I can do that, I can do this. If I can do that, now I can do this. And that's when giving zero fucks went to a whole new level, because you start to realize that all this stuff that we're doing and that you see is a distraction and it's BS. We often focus on a lot of small stuff. We get vexed at the small stuff. Most of our life is small stuff. And once I learned and really studied about being emotionally intelligent and learning that most of this stuff that we get upset about is small stuff, that's when I became authentically myself. I think everyone's path to becoming authentically themselves is different. But I think if you start facing your traumas, getting rid of people and things that don't matter, and trying to face your fears, if you start with those four things, you're well on your way.
I love it. The 40 things, what is particular about them is that you found authenticity through action. Mm-hmm. So I spend my time telling people, if you stay in your head trying to figure shit out, it's not going to work, because your head is going to tell you lots of stories and you're not going to be able to figure them out. So you'll be on this hamster wheel. But what you did is you just went out and did things and kept what worked, left what didn't work. And then at the end of that process, you're like, huh, look at what I uncovered. Mm-hmm. And even the red lipstick, right? The idea that an artifact is representative of your power to use your voice, that is also a choice.
Mm-hmm, right?
That you wear, and funnily enough, people don't notice. So it's not for others. It's literally for you. That is very interesting.
I think people think that I've always been this strong, this resilient, this way. I have not. This has been a lifelong journey. I am still a work in process. I talk about the times where I was a fitness instructor and seeking the validation and being addicted to weight loss drugs and exercising hours every day and not seeing friends because I could not control myself around food. So I would not go out and go to a restaurant. Are you crazy? And then going through a deep depression and almost not making it out of it. So the path to liberating yourself, not just your body, the path to liberating yourself is not going to take a month.
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time. And it's a process that, because you have triggers in your life, we talked about earlier about trauma and how I don't think trauma ever goes away. I think it lives within. Sometimes it lives dormant, right? And then you see something or hear something that triggers it. You just get better at dealing with it. When I first became a mother, and my daughter was a baby, I almost thought I made a mistake because I was so tired in the first few months. I say, how do women do this? Did I make a mistake? Am I going to be a good mom? I can't stay awake. Because I don't feel like I had this conversation with anybody. And then every time I would ask people, they're like, how do you do this? How do you get through it? And they say, I don't think you ever get through it. You just get better. You get tools to deal with you not sleeping. And then they get older and then they start sleeping. Motherhood never gets easier. You just get better at learning how to do certain things. You become yeah. more resourceful. And I feel like that's the same thing that has happened in my life. I don't think I am the queen of liberation. I don't consider myself a part of the body positive movement. I see myself more as a body liberator. I think I just get better at learning about who I am. I am a totally different person than I was last year. I'm a totally different person than I was 3 months ago. Things that I'm learning, things that I'm doing now. And I think that that's the only way that we can grow and be happy is being that ever evolving person that is willing to take risks and to work on themselves and be okay that they're not perfect.
Hmm. I have a question that's for myself. I very much identify with what you're describing. It's also been a path of mine to sort of like, there's a lot of stuff to deal with and get to a place of compassion. But one of the things that I have found hard is no longer identifying with parts of who I was in the past. I do want to stay identified. And so the connection, is it staying identified? Is it integrating? Is it like, how do you make the link between the woman you were in the past, the woman you were a year ago, the woman you are today, your future self? Like, how do you make it an integrated experience rather than, okay, I've evolved, I'm a new person today? Because that doesn't feel good to me. I feel like I'm missing something and I don't know what to do with that woman, yet I know how different I am from her. What do you think?
I think that it's okay to feel that sense of disconnect. There's pieces of my past that I still connect with and that there's pieces that I don't. And some of those things, yeah, they bother me. And I'm just like, why am I no longer feeling that connection and can recognize it in my life? Why am I not bigging it forward? And I really just feel like in order for me to grow and to move on and to do different things and be a better me, is that I've really been able to let go, which has not been easy, of things in my past that just no longer serve me, no matter how much I want them. It just doesn't serve me anymore. For example, when I first started my platform, I was in fishnet stockings. I have something to say and you know, my tits are out. And I look at some of those videos now and I'm just like, what were you doing? But that's what I needed at that moment.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, why am I not that person? Why am I not? It just no longer serves my purpose of how I was feeling anymore. I was more enraged than I have something to say. You're going to see my bad ass. And now what I have to say, for me, it's more important for it to be verbal and not so much of a show. And so some people will resonate with that and some people will not.
I want to talk about risk. One of the things, and I mentioned this to you when we started, one of the things that is the hardest for the women I work with is this idea that what are people going to think? And I know your philosophy about that, but also I'm going to get trolled. I'm going to get called out on social media. People are going to just think I'm stupid and say something, like that whole interaction with people judging. So I understand that idea and I'm on board with you with the idea of no fucks given. How do you get there with social media? How do you manage trolls? Because people can be hateful. IG is not a pleasant place all the time.
I think there's a couple of things. I realized very quickly that a lot of the trolls are people who have nothing better to do. And let me explain. That sounds like an easy, okay, Michelle, I get it. But one of the things I've learned from working with CEOs and high profile people is that people that really matter would never do those things. So it's usually a kid or someone who doesn't have anything going on in their life that they just sit online and they're looking. One of the biggest lessons I learned from working with high profile people is they don't have time for that. So the people that really have something to say, who have worth, that really matter, that you can have intellectual conversations with, they rarely, if ever, judge you because they've all been through it. That is one thing I realized through trolls. The second thing I realized is that it's okay that people don't get my message, that don't see me how I see myself. And that is something that I had to overcome when I went through my period of trying to be validated in my worth and am I enough? That's a process too. But you have to get to a point where you just know that there's certain people who are not going to like you, and you have to be okay with that. You just have to learn that whatever words come out of your mouth, whatever your body looks like, however you choose to live your life, there's always going to be someone who has something to say. For example, I'm a Black, queer, fat woman. These are things, with the exception of being fat, perhaps, these are things that I cannot change. So someone's going to hate me because I'm a woman. Someone's going to hate me because I'm Black. Someone's going to hate me because I'm queer. It doesn't matter what I do. You are going to hate me for something. So I might as well just be the quadruple threat and just be who I am. And I think a lot of times people are like, they're trying to get the masses to like them because the masses have told us that this is what you need to do to be liked. And it could be from family too. A lot of this stuff comes from family background. I was fortunate enough to have parents who didn't see anything wrong with me having short hair or no hair. In Black culture, hair is everything. So why are you going to cut your hair? I used to have very long hair into the middle of my back until I realized that I hated dealing with it every day. It was the only thing that people wanted to talk about. Your hair. Can we talk about something else? I hated being in the salon all day on the Saturday. I hated having my scalp burned until I just got to the point where, okay, if someone doesn't find me attractive because I don't have long hair, then that is not the right person for me. And what actually happened is when I cut my hair off, I became more confident and I had more people attracted to me because I was confident and I thought it was the hair. It's that mindset shift, right? A lot of it is about validation. That's why I talk about it so much on my platform, is validation. We have to find a way to stop comparing ourselves. Comparison is the thief of happiness. You have this and she looks like that. And how come I don't? And why didn't I get that deal? We are all starting from different places in different situations. We've all grown up differently. You can't compare yourself to somebody else. I have people who often say, Michelle, I wish I was like you, or I would have loved to look like you. I don't want you to wish you were me. I don't want you to look like me. I'm already taken. But what you can do is be the amazing, best version of you. And that's what I try to do in my life, is just be the most amazing. I don't want to be anybody else. I have no desire to be a size 2 white girl. I just don't, because this is what God gave me. So I decided that that is what I'm going to work with. Really, I say this all the time, when you learn emotional intelligence, it's something that will set you free in your life. I went to a seminar one day and I learned about emotional intelligence and I became immersed in learning how to become more emotionally intelligent. And that is a big part about being authentically yourself and learning to accept those pieces and learning to not worry about what people say about you online. There will always be someone who has something to say about me because I am political. My being is political. Mm. My existence is political. I can't get away from it. So I might as well speak my mind. That's just how I look at it.
So interesting, that sentence, my existence is political. So true. I feel like you just answered the question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. What's the 3-minute advice to a woman who's like, okay, I need to get started. Like, I've been listening to this podcast long enough. I need to get started in this visibility path. 3 minutes to just get her started.
3 minutes to get you started. Face your traumas, start working on them if you haven't. Doesn't mean you have to have them resolved. They will never probably be resolved. Start working on them. Get rid of things in your life that are not making you happy. One of the best things I ever did when I left work that I did not like was, I am never going to take a job anymore that's not going to make me happy. I am never going to say yes when I really want to say no. I'm going to put up those boundaries. One of those things, oh, I didn't talk about this. Boundaries, life-changing.
Let's talk about boundaries.
I don't give excuses for not wanting to go to your party anymore. Do you want to come out with us? No. Why? Because I just want to stay at home and sleep, actually. I don't give excuses. Well, I'm going to my sister's place because I don't want people to feel bad. Setting boundaries, letting people know that they can't talk to me that way. Letting people know that, okay, if we have this meeting time, you don't call me 5 minutes before. Boundaries changes your life. So facing your traumas, getting rid of people and things that serve no purpose in your life and that don't make you happy. Setting those boundaries and doing things that make you feel free. Doing things that scare the crap out of you will change your life. It could be going to dinner by yourself. I can't go to dinner by myself. Then people are going to see me eating dinner by myself. Go to dinner by yourself and see how nobody thinks anything.
Nobody thinks anything. I think that's the secret that people don't know, that no one's looking.
No.
Literally, no one's looking. And so you get to try, change your mind, try something else, and no one's looking. And
looking, you're right. Because everybody is in their own head about, oh, the doctor, I got to go pick up my kids. I got to go finish this. Oh my God, my relationship sucks. You think they're worried about your arms in the tank top that are shaking? You think they're going home saying, I saw Michelle in the mall today, this black girl, and she had these big arms and a tank. No, everything that's going on in a person's head. Oh my God, I'm going to pick up the laundry. My kids are driving me crazy. I need to pay the rent. Oh my God, how am I going to pay the rent? Do I got to get groceries? Nobody cares. Nobody's thinking about your belly. So nobody's thinking about your arms. And if they do think about it, it's for that moment. And then they've gone back to thinking about how they're going to pay rent, how they hate their job, their partner, the relationship sucks. I know I do. I don't remember anyone that I walked past in the mall at any time in my life.
Yeah. It's the most freeing thing once you realize it. You're like, no one's looking. I'm not looking.
Yeah.
I'm not looking. Literally.
That's right.
I will forget. I'm scrolling and I will forget the last thing that I saw. So we're all absolutely safe.
So if you're not looking, why do you think people are looking at you?
No, that's exactly it. Because we're thinking from our perspective, right? We're like, people must think I am so this or so that, because we're just thinking about ourselves.
Yeah. I would say the last point, and I'm a little obsessed with it, is in the last few years, the people who I know who have gotten sick or died, young, vibrant people who work out regularly, who are full of life, who eat well, who have never had an illness in their life, have died suddenly or become really ill suddenly, reminds me that nobody's promised any time here, eh?
Mm.
And I take it, I wake up thinking about it, and I take 10 minutes to be like, I'm supposed to be here because you made me wake up today. So let's make it happen today. And the more you compare yourself or worry about what other people are going to think, that's robbing you of every moment of your life that you could be celebrating. And I am obsessed with thinking about that. Obsessed.
I hear you. I really do. So what are three words to describe you?
My God, I've been trying to think about them.
They're more than three. They're more than three.
I would say resilient. I think I'm really good at bouncing back and not letting failure keep me down. I just keep going. Authentic. What you see is what you get. Sometimes maybe to my detriment. I don't know, but I just can't. I just can't. I just need to, if you want my opinion, I'm going to give it to you. If you really don't want to hear what I have to say, then don't ask me for my opinion. So I would say resilient, authentic. And I know when I'm going to get off this call, I'm going to be like, why didn't I say that? Because that's really what it is. Doesn't that always happen? I would say, I think I'm an empath. Sometimes, even though my social media presence is this really don't care attitude, I'm an extremely empathetic person who goes above and beyond and who cares. And I try to raise my daughter the same way, especially with difference, reminding her there's difference. Not just the way you look, about how people live. So empathetic, resilient, and authentic.
I'm not surprised for the empathetic part, because I think part of that strong persona on IG is also a protective one for others. I don't necessarily mean protective for you, but I feel like you're protecting a lot of people who don't feel seen and who feel in community and seen within your space and who know that you will set boundaries that they are not necessarily able to set. And so it becomes a safe space for them. That rings very true, the empath piece of it.
One of the reasons why I do what I do is because I almost die trying to please people, literally and figuratively. And I don't want anybody to feel like how I felt, because people don't care. So you need to put yourself as the priority, because the world is going to go on without you. And when I see women, and women in particular, who we live our lives hating ourselves in one way, and I hate the way I look, I hate my legs, I hate, and we die. A lot of us die still hating, still dieting, still trying to be enough. It saddens me. And I know there's women who don't have the voice that I do, just because that's just not them, and that's okay. But I don't want people to live the rest of their lives hating themselves when there's so much to be grateful for, but we can't see it because we're so busy trying to fix what doesn't need to be fixed.
Thank you.